BBC News with Stuart McIntosh. The Israeli army has resumed full military operations in Gaza after its 7-hour humanitarian pause in some parts of the territory came to an end. Although there was a drop in the level of violence during the day, Palestinians accused Israel of breaking its ceasefire by bombing a refugee camp in northern Gaza, killing a woman and an 8-year-old girl. Martin Patience has spent the day in Gaza.
It's been relatively quiet in Gaza since the ceasefire came to an end. Yes, there have been Israeli airstrikes. Yes, dozens of Palestinian rockets have been fired from Gaza into Israel. But compared with the past few days, I think most people will say this counts as a lull in the fighting. We have had comments from the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He has said that the operation here will continue until the security, as he says, of Israel's citizens are guaranteed.
Egypt has called on Israel and the Palestinians to begin a 3-day ceasefire in the Gaza Strip beginning on Tuesday. A senior Israeli official has told the BBC that Israel would accept the Egyptian proposal without preconditions. There's no word as yet from the Palestinian side. The Egyptian foreign ministry said it hoped the truce would be followed by talks aimed at securing a permanent ceasefire. As part of events to mark the 100th anniversary of Britain's entry into the First World War, lights are being turned off across the country for the next hour. Households, businesses and public buildings have been urged to leave just a single light on or a candle burning. Janet Barry reports.
The Lights Out event was inspired by the words of the Foreign Secretary, Sir Edward Grey, who said on the eve of the First World War, "The lamps are going out all over Europe. We shall not see them lit again in our lifetime." Across the country, buildings will leave a single light or candle burning in a shared moment of reflection. When the lights come on again here at 11 p.m. local time, it will be exactly 100 years since Britain officially entered the conflict.
Ukraine says hundreds of its soldiers have been forced to retreat into Russian territory after they ran out of ammunition when they came under heavy fire from pro-Russian rebel forces near the border. A government spokesman in Kiev said that efforts were being made to bring the soldiers back home. Tom Burridge reports.
Russia's internal intelligence agency says 438 Ukrainian soldiers crossed the border into Russia last night. Moscow claims it allowed the soldiers to cross safely into Russia after they defected from Ukraine's army. The Ukrainian military has admitted that a number of its forces from the Ukrainian Army's 72nd Brigade did cross into Russia. But Kiev claims they did so to stay alive after coming under heavy fire from pro-Russian rebel forces near to the Ukrainian-Russian border.
This is the World News from the BBC. The World Bank has announced up to $200 million of emergency funding to help three West African countries deal with the deadly Ebola outbreak. The money will help Liberia, Sierra Leone and Guinea improve their public health systems and tackle the economic impact of the crisis. So far this year, nearly 890 people have died of Ebola in West Africa. A suicide bomber has struck in the Somali region of Puntland, killing a police commander. The security minister said the police chief of the town of Bosaso was one of four people who died in the attack. The militant Islamist group Al-Shabaab said it carried out the bombing. James Brady, the former White House press secretary who was wounded during an assassination attempt on President Reagan, has died. He was 73. Rajini Vaidyanathan in Washington looks back at his life.
As Ronald Reagan's spokesman, James Brady was never meant to be part of the story until March 1981, when, while travelling with the president, a gunman opened fire. President Reagan survived the assassination attempt, and Brady suffered a serious head wound, which left him partially paralysed, forcing him to use a wheelchair for the rest of his life. Those events led him to become an active anti-gun campaigner. A law which requires background checks on handgun purchases is named after him.
And news just in, the Palestinian militant group Hamas has agreed to a 3-day ceasefire with Israel. The deal was brokered by Egypt. Sudan and Zimbabwe have expressed annoyance that their presidents haven't been invited by the United States to a special 3-day summit of African leaders getting underway in Washington. Sudan's foreign minister said the summit would be abnormal without the participation of President Omar al-Bashir. Zimbabwe's foreign ministry said the decision not to invite President Robert Mugabe was unfortunate. And that's the BBC News.